Dentistry is changing. Technology, education, and resources are closer to our fingertips now more than ever. Are you ready to learn what millennial dentists are doing to exceed patient expectations, enjoy dentistry more, and take more vacations? Or how this generation can join up with the previous ones to make for an unstoppable dental team? Well, wait no longer. Here is your host of The Millennial Dentist, Dr. Sully Sullivan.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Still live at Hemin. We've moved on over. We got a super exciting guest that I'm personally excited about kind of interviewing here for the next little bit. Hank Barton, president of Forest Dental. How are you?
Hi, Richard. Good to see you. Yeah. And Hemin.
Yes, very happy to meet you here at the Hemin 2017.
Yep. You're the president of Forest. Yep. You've been in the dental. How long have you been in the dental industry?
Okay, I'll give you a quick little history.
Give us a little history. And then
I started at ADEC in 1975. I left in 2000, so I was there for 25 years.
Wow.
And my territory was the four western provinces of Canada, and I lived in Portland, Oregon. All right?
Okay.
So my closest dealer was 375 miles away. My furthest dealer was 2,000 miles away. And I've always been a greaser. I love cars. I love hot rods. I'm building a rod now. It's a 57
nice.
Willys Jeep wagon with
nice.
An LS3.
Oh, wow. I see pictures of that.
Cooled, supercharged, 700 horsepower. So, I'm...
So, let's talk about cars.
Forget the Forest Dental.
So, the reason I rambled about that for a little minute is because some of the things I'm going to show you here in, real quickly or point out to you.
Yeah.
Are the reasons why we are the fastest growing company.
Millennial
I bought
podcast.
40-year-old Forest in 2004. The man from whom I bought it worked at ADEC before I got there, and he left in 2008, and so we knew each other for about 3 years. I got there in 1975. He left in 1978, I mean. And so anyhow, I'd run into him. He started Forest after he left. I'd run into him every 5 or 6 years or whatever at a dental show and say, when are you going to sell me your business? Because I was always impressed as an ADEC rep that here was this company, Forest, that didn't really have any advertising or marketing, but every year throughout whatever economy up and down, they would thrive. What I'm saying is that basically it's a real simple company mm-hmm. that whose equipment is very, very reliable. It's your classic plug and play. And what we did to make it the fastest growing company since 2008, we grew from 2008 to 12 through the recession, we grew 123%.
Wow.
The big brands lost double digits. And one of the reasons we grew so much during those hard times, and the reason we grew 20% last year and we're growing immensely every year, is that we have two brand strategies. And one of them is affordable excellence, which means big brand features and more for less.
Uh-huh.
And the other one is designer friendly, which means 9 paint colors, 2-coat, powder coat paint colors.
Now, I love that. That's one of the things I've seen at the, if you guys get on, is it forestdental.com?
Yep.
Where they can see the designs and stuff. One of the things I love about Forest Dental chairs, because I've seen so many catalogs and pictures of it, they have beautiful design. They look beautiful. Like even you said, you talked about cars, like the way that you have thought about the design. That's I love it.
Well, the interesting thing is, Peeman, that 70% of the product that is going out our door is in a color other than the industry standard white. So we are finding ourselves in, I think it's very safe to say, the nicest clinics made are being built in North America now. We just had a guy come in from Texas just out of Houston. Okay, here's a bragging moment, too.
Okay. It's all right. You get to do that.
All right. So in the last, my marketing gal over there, Molly, says in the last 2 years, because we're about a half an hour away from ADEC, so people will come out to visit ADEC, and then they'll come over the hill and visit us. In the last 2.5 years, we've had 20 people visit both companies. We've never lost one of them. That's not true. We lost one doctor in the comparison.
Sure.
But, you know, that as an entrepreneur here, as an owner of Forest, having worked for that other company all those years.
So, 25 years you did, and you took a concept and you made it your own, and you have a brand. It's called Forest Dental. You started, and it's for now 16 years.
So, I mean, I bought Forest in 2004.
2004.
And we're a 40-year-old company this year.
Right.
So really, basically, what I did is took a real simple plug-and-play reliable unit and made it real pretty, like with triple chrome-plated billet aluminum end caps. That's my hot rod stuff coming through again. Two coats of powder coat, and the clear coat that we put over the color coat.
Sure.
There's probably eight grades of clear. The clear that we chose is the same clear that automobile makers put on their alloy wheels. So the paint is by far the toughest, but I don't know how I could ramble all day. But since we're here at this unit, this is the best unit made in North America. It's our rear mount side delivery.
Sure.
And so many people come into our showroom or come into the convention floor here and they say, I want another chair mounted unit because I used one for all those years in college. And then I practiced on a chair mounted unit. So I bring them over here and show them this, what we call rear mount side delivery, where the handpieces are right next to the patient's ear. And there's no moving a control head back and forth to enter or exit a patient. It's all one mount, one source of plumbing. So it's a real inexpensive way to do
sure.
it. But I would have your followers check out our website and look at our 7,000 unit.
7,000
units. That's what we're sitting in front of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is by far...
It's your favorite unit.
The most badass unit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool.
So it sounds like, you know, your idea was like, let's kind of remove some of the bells and whistles. Let's have a streamlined chair that basically functions and does what it's supposed to do, which allows me to make money. But let's make it pretty. And
contrast stitching, dual color upholstery, black with red stitching is real popular.
But also all of that, yet affordable excellence is another thing. So tell us a little bit about pricing, finances for young dentists that get... Like, how much a typical chair, Forest Dental chair, cost?
Molly's over there. She can tell you. But I think the street price is like $5,800 on the chair. So I better get her over here to double check that.
$6,000. Now, that's not bad. Now, think of it.
What is the street price?
$5,000.
So when you buy multiple stuff, you're going to...
If you do a bundle, you do $5,000, $6,000. That's... Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Well, what I love about that is it takes... You know, Payman's doing a startup. He's already done some ops. He's still got four ops to furnish.
Sure.
And, you know, we did eight ops with y'all last year because we came last year and we were going to just do three ops, you know, and we looked at ADEC and we looked at some of these other Pelton Crane, some of these other bigger companies. It was like, well, we could do three ops, but for a little bit more, we were going to be able to basically redo the entire office with your company. And so it was like, why would we, and I can't tell you what it's done to our practice as far as, you know, everybody comes in, it's like, oh, everything's new and nice. And, you know, they like that. So,
and you know, you say every unit looks pretty good when it's new and nice. The reason I'm silly enough to do two coats of powder coat and triple chrome-plated billet aluminum end caps is working for that other company. I know that you'd come back in 10 years, and with the disinfectants and the UV, the plastic looks yellow, and it drove me nuts, being the greaser I am, you know?
That's fantastic. That, like, puts total 2 and 2. I had no idea you were such a car guy.
Well, see,
that's awesome.
I mean, it's a secret.
You have a car collection? Yeah. Here,
no,
you need to have pictures in your the magazine.
I've sat in front of in one of our catalogs my '64 Lincoln that I shouldn't have sold that I just sold, and I sat in front of a 356 Porsche that I loved.
Yeah,
and my problem is I buy them and fix them up and sell them. But so as I got my arm on this chair, you know, little things like affordable excellence means that, for instance, it's ultra leather standard. With other companies, the upholstery ultra leather is about a $700 upgrade.
Sure.
So we do enough things like that that nobody else does. And that is why we grew 20% in 2015. We only grew 6 last year. But
I want to learn a little bit about, other than the chairs, you talked about the mounted the delivery system.
Okay.
Now, do you guys, I'm like, I want to kind of get this straight. Now, MCC, you guys work with them or do you guys have your own thing? Like, tell us a little
bit
about...
That's a very good question.
Right.
So my rep group, I don't have a captive rep group where they only work for me. I have an independent rep group, which is, you know, there's a difference there. But my rep group, which is called PSA, is the most... It's the most effective rep group. And they have not only Forest, but they have M&CC cabinets.
Sure.
They have
Air Technique and all of that.
Air Technique. Okay. Everybody knows Air Technique is the number one compressor.
So you joined with them, partner up with them. Now, they make your cabinetry...
We use this, for instance, this 7,000 unit that I'm so in love with. It's on an M&CC lower cabinetry right here.
That's part of you guys. It's a partner up kind of thing with Forest and MCC.
Yeah. And down there, by the way, at the end of the booth is a cart that we introduced in Chicago here a little while ago that is David Ahern's ergonomic
design ergonomics.
And it's a vast improvement over theirs. And I talked to David. We're friends.
That's good.
And he knows I did it.
They did my block diagram for my office.
Oh, they did?
They did an amazing job. Because everybody's like, oh, you can't put that many rooms in that place. Yeah. And everybody now is like,
watch me.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting now that we're talking about that. There are a number of people that I've talked to that look at his design with his, you know, a 4 or 5 inch wall and a little sink out there and all that.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are doing a center island in between.
Right, yes.
And then the beauty of that is you put one floor in one big deal instead of a floor in each room.
Oh, yeah.
You put HVAC in one big expanse of an area instead of HVAC in each room.
In each room.
You mount your X-ray on the center island.
On the center island
is pre-plumbed, pre-decorated, and pre-wired.
You save so much construction money already.
You know what? And then the beauty of that is, say, if you get tired in 10 years and you decided it's time to move to Fiji, you can sell a center island oftentimes for half of what you paid for it.
Wow.
Where if you put all your money into a wall system, where your real walls, that, oh, look, there's a duplex down there. Oh, there's a sink on there. Oh, there's backing for an X-ray hung on the wall. Where with a center island, that's all.
You can bundle them out and put them in there.
So the money you save on HVAC. The
plus,
money.
If you say sell the practice, you could just take it from.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I got asked too. What's what's the future for Hank? I mean, I was pretty impressed. You come up and they're like, that's the president of the company, and here you are in jeans hanging out. You know, you walked up, introduced yourself, gave me your card. I mean, like,
most presidents of companies
aren't doing this kind of thing, and I think that's great. Well, tell me just about your vision. Where are you moving forward with things?
Wow. Okay. Well, being that I'm only. Okay, I was in Cabo last week.
Yeah?
Drinking some
rough pizza. Life, yeah.
And I turned 69.
Wow.
So, awesome.
You know, I feel
like... Dude, you don't look 69 at all.
No.
You look... Yeah. It must be the tequila and the sun.
Yeah. But I work out all the time, and I played pro football just for a little while, and I never quit working out after that. So, I mean, I'm like you guys, I have to admit. Meeting you right now,
but
I
it's
love
so
life and I love
you're having
life.
Fun.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's so motivational for me. A lot of people are like, I have a lot of mentors, and I have these people because, like you, it's just like I look up to you guys and I see how, and I get motivated more and more. I see, I'm like, wow, 69, he's killing it. He's still happy. He's doing stuff and he's coming up with new things every year. It's impressive and passionate. Yeah. Like you're very passionate about.
I have people all day long say, Hank, would you stop spitting on me? And I say, no, when I'm really passionate, I have a tendency to spit. Not really.
We're going to clean the mic off. And I think it's a big part of this podcast, Hank, was, I think you're the outlier in that. And I think most dentists in their 50s and 60s really start to stop investing in their practices and start to see this trajectory that's downward instead of upward. Yeah. And so then what happens is you have an older, either a younger dentist that comes in, has to buy it out and redo everything. Or they don't want to hire an associate because they're like, well, is there enough to go around or we want to invest? And so really trying to battle that and because for us and for me personally working with Dad, the energy that it's bringing and kind of getting him excited and redoing, he's doing the same thing. Like he's having more fun doing dentistry right now.
You really bring up a big, maybe the thing that I am most passionate about besides my chrome end caps and stuff like that is I have been doing it. I started working for ADEC in 75. So I have known so many dentists over the years. And you're right. When you get to be a little older, sometimes the passion starts to wane a little bit. But when I see doctors get the idea, the wisdom of updating their practice over a period of time that works with their budget, just like they do their home or one year they'll do a kitchen, a whole kitchen redo. And then they kind of recover financially. In 5 years, they do their bathroom. Oh, yeah. And then there's the gutters and the paint and the yard and everything. So all the years that they're living in their house, they're keeping it up. And it's fun to live in a house that's being modernized. And then when it comes time to sell it, you have something called curb appeal. And if you waited to fix your house up the year before you're going to sell it, you wouldn't be able to afford to do it.
Yeah, you can't.
But
right.
If you update your practice incrementally over the years, well, the sad thing is that when a student comes out of dental school, there's maybe one class on running a business.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You come out of business school, a commerce school, and you end up managing a shopping center, and one of the most fundamental basics of managing that center is putting money into it every year. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't do it, then it starts to run down, and then somebody built a new shopping center down the road.
Right.
Even though you update yours then, it has a lagging image, you know. So it, it's, I mean, if I wanted to profess any one bit of wisdom towards Dennis, whether you're just getting started or you've been doing it forever, is think about your practice like it's a business and make the waiting room look like it's brand new all the time. And your first room that your patients go to, the hygiene room, it should be your nicest room. And you know, you guys are looking around here and you have dual color upholstery with contrast stitching, and you have that copper chair over there.
We right now,
like I said, we are in the nicest offices being built where their total color integration is really important, you know, and
they're pretty slick.
It makes the office a lot more fun to be in, you know, for the staff, for the dentists, for the patients to come into a really, you know, unprofessionally.
It's very important. I just recently opened my own office in Nashville, and I get every patient that comes in, they're all impressed. They're like, oh my God. But I thought about it, how to do it, like by textbook. So like read about like architect, dental design, dental architecture. So I read some magazines, just the best dental practices where they were got nominated to be the best. And I read them and like, why is this a good practice? And I saw like everything you're saying, pretty much the color combination, the spacing from
attention
design ergonomics. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's very much just like a, it's like a school on it, honestly, like going through the process of building out a brand new practice is almost unheard of, but there is a way of doing it. It's just, you got to step
coming right out of school and doing that.
Well, I worked for a couple of years, three years, and then I started from zero. But 14 months, it took me 13 months to build.
You know, good for you. I mean, I've seen statistics that say that if you start your practice like 1 year or 2 years out of school, and, you know, maybe you don't have enough confidence in your speed or whatever to be able to do that. But if you do it, you'll make as much money at the end of your first year as you would after 5 years of associating.
Sure.
I don't know if you ever saw that statistic.
Wow. That's good news. Keep powering through.
Yeah. That's good. Well, this has been an awesome episode.
Thanks so much, Jake, for doing this. Yeah, it's been fun.
Pleasure.
Absolutely.
Thanks for coming by, you guys.
Yeah.
Nice
thank you.
All right. Well, everybody check it out. Forest Dental. And what's y'all's website?
ForestDental.com.
Yeah, ForestDental.com. Perfect.
ForestDental.com.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Hank.
Thanks. Have fun. Bye.
All right, another one. We're back at it.
Back at Revenue Well. I just met Alex
Newdell.
Alex. Welcome to the podcast, Alex.
Thank you.
Is your first podcast at Hinman?
I'm impressed with him.
It is the first podcast at Hinman, absolutely.
I love it.
And is the quickest, shortest invite I've ever had.
We walked up and handed you a mic and said, you're about to be on our podcast.
That's what we did. I mean, it's cool. It's
millennials don't really mess around.
So let's talk about it.
So you're the founder of Revenue Well.
I am the founder of Revenue
Well. Why did you create Revenue Well? You're a dentist.
No, you're not a dentist.
Okay.
I actually have a title DDS, but it's dedicated dental spouse.
Is your wife a dentist?
Yes, my wife.
Okay, I didn't know this. Nice.
Girl,
two dentist wives.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
Okay, so tell us, just ground up, go.
So I'm a practice administrator for about 25 years, multiple practice at the same time at one point, and saw a need for something like this because we were paying many different companies to do the same thing as Revenue Well does in one package. So we decided that put something together that works in a very different way, in a smart way.
And when you say a lot of different things in one package, you're talking about front office,
absolutely,
type stuff.
Not only front office. So I wanted to integrate my clinical side into the system as well.
Okay.
So I've used other systems before, and I had to pay one for to confirm.
Because our listeners might heard of, I mean, there's Solution Reach, Demand Force. There's a lot of different companies that do a lot of different things, and trying to figure out, okay, which one am I going to go with? What do they all do? You wanted to create your own, basically.
Correct. So I did not want to be called a patient communication system or appointment confirmation system. What we are is a practice growth system.
Okay.
And we're able to look at teeth numbers and perio pockets, dental codes and charts. So for those dentists that are actually putting their time in and diligently entering all the information into the system, now are able to do a little bit of target marketing. They're able to do data mining and all the fun things they've always dreamed
Which,
of.
And if you're a listener and you're not doing that, start doing it. Because what I've realized is like numbers are so important. And if you're not entering things in and putting them in the charts accurately, it's crap in, crap out for a lot of this stuff. So a lot of what you've built analyzes all that, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's important that all of us are doing that to begin with.
just think about it this way. Uh-huh. You walk into a practice that has 10,000 files, and it's in the wall, uh-huh. and you come up to the doctor and say, look, doc, I'm going to go and speak to the ladies in the back, but do me a quick favor, pull anybody that we treatment plan for, inlays, onlays, crowns and bridges, implants, root blending and scaling, and I'll be back. How long would you think?
A minute. They couldn't.
And if they would start with the A's, then so it's not very efficient.
So let's take one example. Payman does a lot of implants.
Right.
He started a practice.
I started my own. I was an associate. I branded up and built my own.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I have open dental software, and I have a CPA, and I also have a front office manager that does all my stuff. Now, this is a great podcast. This is the first time I'm actually meeting you, and I want to guide me through this whole process. Like, how would you,
how can you help?
Help me?
Yeah,
right,
a great
now,
question.
It's been 3-4 months of me working. I've got my open dental. I've got rich report. So last month's production was $70,000, the second
month.
That's
very good.
And I want to know, but I do the type of dentistry that has a lot of overhead, right? So $70,000, like a lot of it is going to go to the lab. There's a lot of implants. There's a lot of costs. There's lots of.
Do you work with open dental? We should have probably asked that. That's good. Okay, so this would have been a real big bust right there. But you're like, we don't work with open
dental. What does he do? Tell me. So they didn't tell me anything. I'm like, let's talk.
No, we put him on the podcast.
We're talking. Talk me about.
So here's what's going to happen. There's two types of patients in your office.
Uh-huh.
There are patients with appointments and patients without. So you'll treatment plan them, you'll go over the treatment,
uh-huh.
and you'll give them many different options, how they could pay for
sure.
it, what's the phases, how long is it going to take.
Right.
There are patients that say yes, and they go on to the schedule. We actually help you communicate to the patients that say no by doing a treatment plan follow-up of uh-huh. the case that you proposed, and we reach out to them, email, text message. We can even do a letter for those people that don't have.
But they don't have money. How are you going to go back? Okay, so my treatment plan, for example, is $12,000.
Yes.
And they have $5,000 in their pocket, and
yes.
I do care credit, for example. I do finance, lending club, and I want to do in-house financing. I haven't done it yet with one patient just because I know her. But how would you be able to help that patient of mine? And I have a ton of those that don't have the money. How would you be able to go back? They know they need the treatment because it's 10 years they've been waiting on it. It's the finances and the money that right. they're lacking.
Are they applying for credit in your office?
They do. And also some of them, they don't have a good credit. So I tell them, like, go and find somebody who has good credit and knows you. And then they can file. No, that's what the credit told me. They said, you got to find out somebody that they know. And
absolutely.
They go, right.
Get the money somehow.
Okay.
So here's what I found. We do a lot of implants in our practice as well.
Okay.
So when we say that patients don't have money, we actually trust them for what their word is.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is, if we go back and analyze your practice, I would say more than 60% of the patients that say they don't have money actually do not apply right there in your office.
So they have to apply in the office, in the consult room.
Because then if not, you're expecting them to go home, fill out the application, and actually find out.
Absolutely. So the great part about us is that we're actually able to reach out to your patients and deal with these things that will be very important to you.
Sure.
Number one, money. Number two, time, fear. Anything that they tell you, let me speak to my wife about it, spouse, my
sure.
significant other.
And then you lose them. They go into practice random land where you don't see them again until right. 6 months and hope you find them.
That's what happens to a ton of my patients.
So here's what we would do. We would follow up with them the very next day.
Uh-huh.
And we would say, dear patient, we wanted to reach out to you and give you this amazing tool to help you make the right decision for your oral health. We've included patient education videos and the treatment that's needed. We've included a link to...
So your software credit. Knows that he planned an implant, and it knows what email to basically send them based off the proposed treatment.
Correct.
Is that going to take time from my schedule to educate you guys on what I'm trying to do for the patient?
Absolutely not. So what we're looking at...
You like that answer.
The patient that comes in...
Yeah, I don't want to spend
you
more
propose
time.
It.
I've already spent time with them patient in the room free.
Absolutely.
Why do I want to spend more money?
So you're planting your seeds.
Sure.
And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be in the patient care business. Money comes...
Later.
When you're taking
absolutely.
Care of that. So there's
yes.
no question about it.
No.
But we see that you proposed and we see that they're not appointed. And because they're not appointed
uh-huh.
and they have been proposed something.
You go after them.
We don't go after them viciously.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
We go after them through patient care.
Delicately.
And, saying, and education.
Not viciously, delicately. So how
don't
about.
Forget they're your patient.
Sure.
And just because they said no right now doesn't mean that in the future and you're
they
a young man.
No,
well,
right.
and the reality yeah, yeah, yeah. is it's like recare. I mean, just even as far as something as reappointing hygiene, like. We're busy. We live busy lives.
Absolutely.
Just because someone doesn't reappoint doesn't mean they don't want to come back. It just sure. means they don't know. So if you don't follow up with them, it may be 3 years because life happens. And so well, you're saying, your point 100%. Is like an implant is the same
right.
way. Just they need to be reminded
You need to step on top of mine. So here's the deal. 10 years ago, if you would have spoke to me as a consultant, I would have said that if your patient leaves without a future appointment, they're not your patient. Today, that's not the case. Today, life is happening to them.
Sure.
By us being able to answer three questions, the patient education that you've invested time in doing, we continue that through Casey. Giving them a link to care credit with options to finance with 0% to make this more affordable.
So you guys also finance?
We do not finance. We're too smart to finance.
Yeah, that's right.
We keep into a very narrow frame of mind. We'll get them back to you. And also, it's that they say, hey, we're going to be back. We're going to talk to our significant other. And they're not really great salespeople. So we're planting seeds. The beauty of this is because we care, we can go after them in another month or two. So what they say about sales is that 80% of the sales actually that you do not make right there happens after the fifth attempt.
I heard seventh. I heard 16th.
Wow.
Now,
that's interesting, though.
Yeah, it is. Interesting. It's always fifth and sixth. Now, tell me the money cost. How many times are you guys going to go? For example, I have a house that the tenant didn't pay money, so I have a lawyer that is keep going and going and trying to get the money. But
that
they're getting
expensive.
It is. But they're taking 40% of whatever they're going to get. And I'm like, cool, go do whatever. Now,
so I'm willing to give anybody revenue well for free.
Wow. How do you do that?
Just share with me the profits.
How much?
Well, typically the return on investment is 10 times. For every dollar that you spend, you should get about $10 back.
Okay.
Now, if you're doing cases like implants, like sleep.
Full mouth stuff that are 10 grand, 15 grand, 20 grand.
So then you're probably 20, 30, 40 times the return. So if you spend $3,000 with me, you should get 30. So if you just give me half, I'll pay for your system all day long.
That's a better deal for him, though. We don't want to do that.
Oh, you don't want to do that?
Okay, but Alex, I do want to talk about. So one thing we've obviously hit on pretty hard is your campaigns and the strategy to get procedures. Revenue.
We didn't hit on the campaigns.
Okay,
that's
different.
Let's talk about campaigns.
I can campaign to your patients according to their condition, missing tooth, period.
This is pretty cool. He was talking about this yesterday.
Tell me about this campaign, and
in full disclosure here, neither you, Payman, or myself are clients. We're kind of just interested in what this is.
So here's what we do. We will send out a campaign to patients that you have diagnosed or proposed a treatment. So I can say, here's an implant campaign to patients that we proposed the D6010 to. Don't look shocked at me.
No, that's surgical industrial implant placement. I know that.
So every patient that you treatment plan an implant for gets an email that basically
you
is
can
a
actually campaign. So you can look at your schedule in the beginning of the month, in the middle of the month, and decide who you're actually going to be able to go after. Do you need it? I mean, you're talking about $70,000. Wow, that's freaking amazing.
One of the things I like about this, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's so important because this is why it's important. I feel like the patient who is approached after the dentist did not follow through and made that appointment, that is more likely to come to your practice because the other guys that she's gone through price shopping, they didn't approach her.
No, absolutely
and
not.
And you're the only one that approached, but guess what? They're going to come to you and they're going to come and do the treatment.
So
it is such an amazing thing. I love it. The thing is, we just got to talk about numbers and pricing and see because it is psychologically, what you guys are doing is psychological. I study psychology.
Right.
And it's so important because nobody's approaching them. Nobody's going after. Nobody's. And they're like, well, look at how much they cared about me here.
Yes.
I think this dentist is going to be the one that I want to give my mouth to and do the work on, especially when it's 10 grand, 15 grand.
So in psychology, you got to understand, dentists today are trying to make sense. They're taking the logical approach and they're losing.
Right.
I agree with you. It's psychology.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do not take the... I mean, the thing about it, like I said, there's a lot of competition out there. Like me and Soli, there's so many dentists around next to us and they're approaching to the same patients. But if Soli, for example, goes and keeps going after and going after, they're going to get that patient.
Well, and ultimately, that's my thing, right? Like, it should be less competition about you and I a couple miles away and more about, like, and what you're basically saying, Alex, is like what Revenue Well does is it's trying to maximize the patients in our practice that we propose treatment to, getting more people, more higher patient acceptance.
Absolutely. So your practice is young. You need the new patient flow.
I do.
So three things that we do extremely well is new patient acquisition.
How do you do that?
We do it through social media, Facebook, Twitter. We actually install some apps onto your website, reviews, book an appointment, pay their bills.
So you can book an appointment, you can pay your bills through Revenue Well.
Right. We don't merchant process, but we gave you that information and you process it yourself. We give you a microsite. We have so many different ways to get you found online. And once so it's search, then research. So we give the reviews and everything else that you do.
Right.
And then appoint. So you can appoint a, out of Facebook, out of Twitter,
sure,
out of my microsite, out of your website.
How much money are we talking about those when you say like new practice? So patient acquisition, is there a different fee?
No, we have a $299 fee. It's a flat fee.
$299 a month.
That's correct.
Let's just talk about this for a minute. $299 a month. We just talked to Banyan.
So $300, and what do you exactly do with that flat fee?
So here's basically what we do.
What is the website for patients or for a lot of our followers and listeners to go to? What is the main website that they need to go to?
It's revenuewell.com.
And how do you spell that?
R-E-V-E-N-U-E-W-E-L-L.com.
Like it's like it's spelled.
That's right.
Revenue. I thought it has an acronym or something.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So here's what we do.
Okay.
We help you get found online. We help you get online appointments directly from Google.
Uh-huh.
So we have a partnership with Google. And so wherever
you work with our webmasters.
We do. And we install the request appointment, reviews, login, right onto your website.
And all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You need that. Because search, research, and appoint.
I'm spending $300 a day on marketing.
That's fantastic. Is it working? And how do you know that it's working?
The problem is, some of the costs, they don't understand that it's $10,000-$15,000. They're like, I only have two, three, four. And I'm like,
that's a great down payment. Just think about it. Most of the people that go, they don't actually buy by price anymore.
Sure.
People don't go for a $300,000 house. They go for a $2,000 payment.
Sure. Yeah.
People don't buy a $50,000.
Well, they don't buy $1,000 fridges. I mean,
how could you guys help with that? I thought you said you don't finance.
No, but
we lead them to your CareCredit sign.
Okay.
We lead them to your lending club. Where they're, you see, we ask the patients to do something that we've never, ever, ever be willing to do ourselves.
Sure.
Do you have a significant other?
No.
Okay, we'll find you somebody.
Yes and no. Yeah, I do. I'm happily married for 3 years.
And so am I. So just to give you an idea, you have somebody that comes in for an emergency.
Sure.
They whip out their business, their credit card, and they'll pay you. You have somebody that needs 3 restorations, and you tell them that we should do it sooner than later.
Yeah.
But please fill out the credit application right now. They'll tell you no. Because they're going to go home, and they're going to have dinner, and they're going to discuss their situation. And their question is, are we going to get it ourselves, are we going to borrow it from family, or are we going to take the zero interest? So I don't care if you freaking own a helicopter and ride it to work every day. 0% money you'll buy.
I have a Nissan Altima.
All right. If you put spinners on it, you'll be cool.
My question here's my big question. So I have a lot. I'm using a couple of different companies that seem to do a lot of the things that you do. How do you tell me what your kind of... What's your sell on someone like me who's like, you know, I worry about, okay, you do a lot of different things and you can do a lot of these different things these other companies are doing all in one company, but I worry that am I getting as much detail in each one versus being spread too thin?
Our claim to success is to be able to read teeth numbers, perio pockets, dental codes.
So being able to pull that information is so huge.
It's the data mining that you're paying for. And I give you a million different things. We reactivate patients. We recall patients. The big thing about us is we know who has an appointment and who doesn't. And we only communicate to those patients that do not have an appointment. I'm very conservative. Everybody thinks that I'm this vicious marketer.
But that he's very delicate, though. He's a delicate marketer.
That's correct.
He doesn't go after them viciously.
That's what he said, viciously.
So my big thing is to communicate to the right patient at the right time, and only what pertains to them and has to do with their condition or proposed treatment. That separates me from blasting. Today, you can literally blast your patients out of your office.
Yeah.
And we have Laura Hash with us also.
What
about this?
Front office rocks.
Hey,
oh, yeah. She's already convinced me, like, I got to sign up for her place. I'm going to sign up for, there's too many stuff.
First of all, let me tell you, we got to do a separate podcast because I want to talk about this.
Heyman wants to be on the podcast with you. He's pissed off.
Front office rocks because I want to talk about how much you cost in my practice. Awesome. I've gone over 5 girls already.
Now, look at it.
They're late.
Heyman's he's the one that is leaving, though. He's there for a month and then leaves. So revenuewell.com.
Revenuewell.com.
Revenuewell.
It's $299 a month, $399 a month. What was it?
$299 a month.
Well, is there a startup charge? Is there a startup setup fee?
$299.
It's only $299.
Can I say something?
Okay.
Yes.
So we're working on reactivation of my practice.
Okay.
And the other day I went to my office, 10 minutes. I put together a reactivation email. We sent out 532 emails.
Wow.
In 10 minutes, I had it out. I left the office. That day, three people called in the afternoon, and I can log in now and see how many patients have logged
in. That's pretty good.
It took me 10 minutes. It was revenue well. It's awesome.
That's pretty good.
And she's
there you
slow.
Go. You're not much faster.
35 to 40 seconds.
I'm multitasking.
Yeah. Oh, that's a different story. You're training people online as well.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. So it's only $2.99.
Okay.
No contracts to
sign.
What
about this?
No contracts.
I deal with patients all the time. So,
yes.
For example, $12,000, they're having their money. I'm like, okay, so can you do like 8-9 now? Like, how do you work that out? Like, I like to talk to the patient directly. Sit
yes.
down in my consult room, like, this
yes.
is what I could do. This is what I can't do.
Absolutely.
How do you do that after they left my practice? Do I have to reach out to you?
No.
Say, hey,
we
I'm
automate
okay.
it. So we connect with your practice management software.
Uh-huh.
We sync every 15 minutes. We only look for changes. That's why we are able to sync so often. And we run reports every day. It's just like mini-me running around.
So you
around.
Get on my Dentrix or my Open Dental
correct.
And you get the reports on your own.
That's correct.
Well, let's
we
sign this
automate
up.
Automate everything.
Oh, God, we're all signed up. I know.
So how many
this is awesome.
Thank you, Alex. I appreciate
thank
it. It's very fun. All right.
Sully,
sounds good.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Appreciate yes. Laura Hatch.
Special guest, Laura Hatch. Here we go. All right, we're continuing on. We're
so
just
here's the thing. Let me talk
we're
about
moving
this.
Through.
So I'm
maybe.
Passing and I'm looking at these books written here by Dr. Charles Blair, and I am very impressed because in my practice, I have when I was an associate, we didn't do any insurance coding or anything. When I opened my own, I'm like, well, this is real world. Now I have to do insurance code, so let me learn it. I'm very, very fortunate that I have Jennifer right now that's helping me with the codes, and she's doing all my insurance and everything. So I stopped by, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. So Sully has already talked to you before, so I'm very fortunate, and I want to introduce our next speaker.
That's right.
Dr. Charles Blair in the house.
Well, and so just if they haven't got it already, Dr. Blair, you basically have dealt with an issue that a lot of students, young dentists, have no clue with, and that's dental coding, you know, and how to code correctly, how to maximize your coding, and how to working with insurance and all that sort of thing. So why don't you kind of start off with, give me a little bit of background and how you transitioned from dentistry into opening up, you know, this, and kind of what it is that at the core y'all do.
Okay. Well, I've been around a long time. And I was practiced dentistry about 10 years, and I've been in the consulting business about 30. And every 10, 15 years, I climb a new mountain. I was in the tax and financial planning area. I sold dental practices, this and that. And about 2004, I got into the code area.
Sure.
And I saw that the ADA code book was inadequate. It was a list of just codes. And so I developed a book, Coding with Confidence, that gives you narratives, insight into the various codes. And the more screwed up the code is, the more we write.
I like
so
it.
Some of the codes we write 3 and 4 pages on.
Wow.
Which is very, very important. Today, though, while many, many doctors and team members are not, I would say that the average practice is about up to the 95th percent level of coding. So they take my class for a day. They walk out with 5 or 10 coding ideas. So it's well worth the class.
The tips and tricks, sure.
But our call center gets more calls about insurance administration than actually coding. And many of those calls start off with, is it legal for me to do this? Is it legal for me to do that?
Okay.
And we're really not lawyers. In the coding administrative area, we find that lack of knowledge would be at least 50%. My administrative book, which is fairly new, it's in its third edition, average doctor might know 40% of what's in that book.
Wow.
Okay.
And so, for instance, just a couple of areas. When you join a PPO, everybody knows that there's a contract because you sign one.
Sure.
It's 6 or 8 pages.
Right.
But what they don't know.
I probably scrolled right to the bottom of that.
What they don't know.
Put my name.
You scroll down to the bottom.
Yeah.
And I'm like, somebody do it for
and
me.
Then,
like,
and then,
I just
and then
signed
don't,
it.
Don't read it.
No,
read
yes, sir.
And the bottom line is that every PPO that you join, even Medicaid, has what's called a processing policy manual. And so many offices don't have that.
No.
It's 150, 200 pages.
Wow.
And it tells you about your relationship with that PPO. Also, that PPO tells you, most cases in that manual, how to do optional services, what's expected of you. And Delta Dental doesn't have just one manual, but two. You practice doctor in Tennessee, so there's Delta Dental of Tennessee.
Right, correct.
That's for a manual for policy sold in Tennessee. But if the policy is sold nationally, like Coca-Cola inks a deal,
sure,
that's under
a whole other manual.
Different manual, Delta USA. So here comes a Coca-Cola employee in, that's under Delta USA manual. So for those listeners, I can't emphasize enough, you need to get the PPO processing policy manual.
Wow.
And so other things like how to process dual insurance. So many team members make some kind of an adjustment when you get the first check. You never, ever make an adjustment. You wait until the second check.
Well, and you were telling us that earlier about how you can basically get paid more.
Up to your full fee.
Yeah, up right. to your full fee. Talk about that.
And
I think that's
and what
awesome.
Offices don't realize is that the PPO controls the fee I charge the patient, but the PPO does not control how much money I can actually make. So the secondary payer, they can write their second check and they can coordinate up to primary. They can coordinate up to the secondary payment, or you can knock a home run and they can coordinate all the way up to the full fee of the practice.
Wow.
And so
so instead of getting paid $600 for my Delta Crown or whatever, I might get my $1,000. Sure.
Yes, sir. And so the administrative area, I can't emphasize enough, is where there is a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. The other thing with the young doctor is they're behind the eight ball because in dental schools, as you know, they don't get a lot of business
sure.
training. And specifically in the area of coding insurance administration, now the doctor goes out. But you got to realize that while the doctor might be an associate and might work for the corporation, guess whose name goes on that
yours
claim
is,
form?
Yeah.
It's the doctor. And so the doctor's name goes on the claims form. And we had a tragedy in North Carolina. We had three young dentists whose licenses were pulled. They were working for corporate dentistry.
Oh, my gosh.
And it turns out that little known to them, but there was SRP built into the treatment plan, scaling and root planning. And, of course, the patients did not need that. And so they were nailed and
wow.
license pulled.
Wow.
And that's and their name,
I mean, that's so important.
Their name goes on
yeah.
the bottom line of the claims form. One other point is if I go to work for a doctor as an associate, I want to maximize the money that I do make.
Yeah.
And I'm paid on a commission in most cases. And so it's important for the young doctor to know all the coding properly. First, you want to get all the legitimate reimbursement, but you also want to stay out of jail.
Right.
Yes.
So it's both sides of
that's
the
good.
Coin. So, you know, as I look at the young doctor and the future of dentistry, it's very clear now that we're moving into a PPO environment.
100%, yeah.
14 PPOs are sold for each indemnity plan. And around the corner are EPOs, which is even worse, which is an exclusive provider
wow.
organization. And that means the patient has to go in-network or they get zero if they go out-of-network.
Wow.
So
wow.
right now, you're out-of-network with some of the different companies. Patients love you. They
shoot,
come in.
Yeah. I mean,
they're
I'd say a good chunk
of they're
yeah.
willing to reach in their pocket, and it might cost them a latte or two to come to you for a checkup
right.
or whatever. But it, with an EPO,
you turn around there,
it's 100%. Wow.
And unfortunately, I think we're moving towards a, and our generation's probably bad about that a little bit, that like, we're going to go to the in-network provider. Like, you know,
that's right.
we're not as
dentistry's
loyal, maybe.
Right.
I mean, that's just the reality.
Dentistry's a little bit more of a commodity.
Yes. And you hate that, but
it
is.
Personal relationship's not as strong.
No.
And it's a little bit
it's unfortunate,
more price conscious and so forth. Unfortunate. A second thing in dentistry is the corporations.
Right.
Our industry is being rolled up. Virtually every industry has been rolled up in our society.
It's capitalism, baby. Yeah.
What I mean by that is you go to a movie theater tonight, it's 2-3 major movie theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You go to buy a hammer, it's a couple hardware stores. I go to get a prescription, it's 3 or 4
the
different
pharmacies.
The
mom and pops aren't as prevalent.
That's right, the mom and pops. And so corporate dentistry is coming in, and who knows, 15 years from now, 20, it could be more than half of the dentists actually work for a corporation.
Hopefully, sure. Pam and I will be doing a podcast all the time.
I'd love to
just interview people.
Now, here's the thing. Now, I see a trend. Now, what I've noticed is some of my mentors that I've been watching their practices, they stopped taking insurance. Yep. And what they're doing is they're doing their own club membership, insurance of
in
their
own. In-office financing kind of
well,
thing?
That's
correct.
An in-house discount.
Correct.
Plan.
So can you tell us a little bit about that? And do you recommend it? Or how? Tell me
a
little bit.
Well, it may not save you entirely in terms of some of the doctors wanting to get out. It's very difficult to get out now of the plans. But
why is that?
Well, it's just contracted. It's just
for how long? What, is it not a year or 2 years?
Yeah, but you're, and part of your, I mean, if 60% of your patient base is Delta Dental, what are you going to do? I mean,
that's
like,
right.
I mean,
and then you just keep Delta and then drop everybody else.
Well, you know what I'm saying, but if you drop Delta, then all of a sudden, what do you
But you keep one or two. No, I'm talking about
Some things you can do is, of course, expand your procedure mix is a key. We old farts like myself, as we got older in practice, 5-7 years out, you'd say, well, wait a minute, let's quit taking children. You'd have a bad experience on extraction and say, well, I got a friendly oral surgeon down the street, let's quit doing that. And so they became, and historically what's happened with older dentists as they get older is the average dentist does about 90 procedures a year. The referrodontist does about 60. And the decathlon doctor does 120. Well, today, the young doctor needs to be a decathlon doctor.
I love it.
Sure. You need to do a wide variety of procedures to survive and thrive. And so I think the future is going to be in 4 or 5 PPOs probably, plus have this in-house discount plan we're talking about.
Right.
Now, it's not dental insurance. But, for instance, for $300, $350, wherever you price it, a patient has a basic preventive plan with you.
A couple pro fees a year and then a discount.
All x-rays, whatever it is. And then if they need additional work, you have a separate fee schedule that's maybe 15% off.
Sure.
10% may not be enough. 20% may be given away the store. So
there's a happy medium. Yeah.
Sweet spot's kind of 15%.
Nice.
So that's the in-house discount plan.
What do you feel about these companies that, these third-party companies, will come in and analyze your insurances? Do you think that's something
that's worth looking at? That can be done. In our books, we talk a little bit about fee negotiations
and that
type of thing and how it works.
There's
some third-party companies that will help you with that.
We'll do that.
Speaking of books,
tell us about how many books you have written?
Like, let's talk about it. And what's the latest and the website and everything for our listeners that want to get into?
Sure. Well, Practice Booster is our website.
Okay.
One word, practicebooster.com.
Okay.
I've got 6 products. I've got the online code system. It's called practicebooster.com.
That's what I signed up for today?
Yep.
Okay, perfect.
Listeners can go there. You can look up any code. It's also got Insurance Solutions newsletter for the last 3 years. It's the cat's meow. And that's our flagship product is the online code system. We've also got a newsletter, the only Insurance Solutions newsletter. It's the only coding newsletter in America on dental coding. And it's 18 pages, comes out every other month of pure, you know, a lot of really brand research articles.
Peer-reviewed.
The next thing is we have 4 books. We have the code book that's been around 100 years, and that's our Coding with Confidence.
We might have a 94 edition or something.
94 edition.
Yeah, like Dad's had that book for forever. So, yeah.
The admin book is in its 3rd edition. It's our one of our newer books, and that's where, if anything, the listeners are lacking is in the insurance administration of how to handle dual insurance and PPOs and all the ins and outs of all that.
Okay, yeah.
And then we got 2 medical books. One is a medical cross-coding manual for the medical claim. The other is diagnostic coding for the dental claim. Now, there's about 12 states. The Medicaid programs require ICD-10 diagnostic coding on the dental claim.
Wow.
So the dental claim is much easier. It's simplified, but we have a book written on how to do
that too.
But our new medical cross-coding manual is 623 pages. And to say, you know, you're crazy not to get the medical book because everything's paid by medical, that's a lie. But also to say, medical never pays, don't buy the book, it's not worth it, that's a lie. So somewhere in between is a sweet spot. There is medical coverage of a lot of procedures, and it's getting better and better and better.
We've noticed with sleep apnea, you know, seems to be one that a lot of people are
Sleep apnea is very popular.
And that sort of thing.
And I do a lot of implant dentistry.
That's right.
And I do have, actually, it's funny because you brought up medical cross-coding, and I was shocked when I saw a patient that I'm actually working on. Next week on Thursday, I'm doing a full mouth reconstruction on him. His medical covered a big portion of his treatment that moving forward.
Trauma is probably a big one that medical.
Well, trauma, historically, implants were not really covered with trauma. Now we're seeing far more implant coverage with trauma cases, which is outstanding.
Yeah, that's great.
And medical pays trauma. And so there you're going to get coverage. You've also got people with, say you get hurt in a car accident, they're going to, and you're the other person's at fault. Their insurance is going to pay for your medical, period. And so
there's a lot.
Of coverage with trauma.
Ultimately, is making the practice richer.
So tell us about cost, because you know us young millennials, it's all about money
and cost.
About
what the whole thing. So you said you have six products, you have online services, right?
Yeah, we have the four books. The online, and we got the newsletter. The newsletter and the online system both have medical and dental call support. The books don't have support per se.
Okay, sure.
And our products are pretty inexpensive. The online system is $295 a year, not per month.
Yeah.
So the listener needs to hear that.
That's why I signed up for that.
You can call and ask questions?
Medical and dental.
I mean, and frankly, we don't push a lot of products on the podcast.
Yeah, we don't want to do it market, but this
But I think that's a no-brainer.
Think about $300 a year. This patient that's coming next week, I'm doing $24,000 on him because of something that Jennifer saw in the medical cross-code. So there's a lot of advantages. Think about
the
money.
What's the admin book cost?
It's $99.
$99.
And the code book is $109, but we have the bundle. If you go to the website, the bundle is $189 for both of those two books.
That's right.
Awesome.
And then the medical book is $366, and that'll be paid the first medical claim that you ever file and can get paid for. And so our stuff is fairly inexpensive. I do have my own personal consulting. You can get Dr. Blair. I've worked with 4,000 offices.
Okay.
And I personally look
you
at
You come into
coding.
Offices?
It's over the phone.
Okay, it's over the phone. Gotcha.
You send the fees. You send me the procedures. And then I get on the phone for 2.5 hours. And about 2 hours is coding. I play insurance detective. I look at code you're using, code you're not. We look at the insurance administration. I quiz your team.
Sure.
I have a little quiz on how they do things.
Yeah.
Consulting.
And selfishly, what's that cost?
And then we give them a year of support. I give you $400 of rebates immediately. You get the online system and
Can we go back?
There you go.
Mrs. Blair, can we retalk?
It's $1,690.
Okay.
So $1,690 with $400 of rebates immediately. So it's really $1,290 for me. And I guarantee at least a $15,000 result from my $1,690. So I give a 10 times.
So $1,690. Can we work any deal for people who mention the Millennial Dentist podcast? Maybe like $100 off, something like that? It's tough out there.
Not really.
All right.
I'll tell you what. Our products stand there, and they're great.
Yeah. That's what we like to hear.
Good.
It's been inspirational, motivational for me just to talk to him because I see him as a dentist, and yet he's done so much for dentistry. I mean, in general, like making us really, ultimately, he's making us richer.
I agree. Like I said, I think it's something that it should be a no-brainer for most practices to at least have your books in the office.
And ultimately, it's for the patient that they are going to go and their insurance is going to cover up
working,
some of these stuff.
And also for the young doctor, too, I want to emphasize, they need this. And even if their employer wouldn't buy it, I would buy it out of pocket because that young doctor needs to
learn.
I'll say stay out of jail. So you want to
like
be sure that you want
to
be sure.
And also to me,
practicing doing something wrong.
Yeah. I feel like if that's one of
the
things I would have done.
Correct.
That's what one of the things I worked for as an associate, but I knew I was going to get my practice. But yet when I first started,
I saw all these Eastern stuff, and he hit me like being yep. in the ring with Mike Tyson.
That's
and
right.
I'm like, wow, I'm gonna hit.
Well, there's nothing worse than Christina coming back to my office and being like, you know, Delta's not gonna, or Blue Cross or Cigna, whoever, is not gonna pay, or they're denying this claim, and you're like, well, now what? And,
what
we, most of us do is we write it off and yep. move on, and we lose money. You
that's
know?
Right. You
and
got
that's,
it.
That's ridiculous.
So well, that's awesome. PracticeBooster.com.
PracticeBooster.com.
Well, thank right. you Thanks so much, you. Dr. Charles Blair.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Right. Okay.
Thank you for listening to The Millennial Dentist. Visit us online at millennialdentist.com.